This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. Hey, Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News, Wednesday, March 29th. 2023, stand up for your country. You know, some big changes going on in America, and many, many, perhaps most Americans are unaware of them, and they will affect every single person in this country. And it's unique to the USA. The same problems are not happening in Europe or China or Russia. And it has to do with the media. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. So when Donald Trump ran for president back in 2016, he won because he dominated television news coverage. The same people who hate him now hated him then. But Mr. Trump was able to galvanize conservative Americans and those who maybe were moderate but didn't like the federal government the way it was operating. And he did it by constantly appearing on television, okay? The Fox News Channel led the way. I was part of that on the O'Reilly Factor. I wouldn't have Donald Trump on every night, but I would have him on when there was an issue or a controversy, and I'll play you an interesting clip in a moment, and we'll look back on that. Anyway, Donald Trump was shrewd because he had been in the media with The Apprentice and other projects. He understood the power that television, cable, and broadcast holds. Well, that power is now disintegrating right before our eyes. And again, most Americans are not aware of it. So it's not even a complicated issue because you have so many channels, so many options. And if you don't want to watch television, you have your personal computer, you have your phone. You can get any music you want. You can stream. You can watch 8 hours of one show, 8 episodes. You can do so many more things than you could have just 7 years ago. So therefore, a politician or anyone with a message has a much harder time getting that message through to 330 million Americans. Because there's just so much, it's overwhelming. So the March 2023, we're still in March, but the television ratings ended on Tuesday for the month. They are stunning as far as the decline of cable news. Now, I've been telling you this for about a year. I've been reporting on it. But now there's no doubt about it. So let me give you the numbers. So Fox News total viewership, March 23 this month to last year at this time, is down 27%. CNN down 61%. That's astounding. MSNBC down 12%. But remember, MSNBC doesn't have a lot of viewers anyway. Fox is the big kahuna there. In prime time, and those numbers are prime time, by the way, not all day, in the 25 to 54, the younger viewers that advertisers like, Fox News is down 54%. They've lost half their audience in a year. 73% CNN, 42% MSNBC. That means that advertising rates go down and the companies make less money. But here's the kicker on this, that if you add up in prime time is 8 to 11, all right? All three cable news operations, less than 4 million people, homes watching, less than 4 million. And 120 million Americans have TV in their homes. I mean, you're down now to 3-4%. There is one caveat there, that if a person says something outrageous, it'll go what they call viral. So it'll get picked up, put on the internet, on all of these sites, and people will see it. They don't watch the whole show. Okay, so every day when I report to you on the No Spin News, there are some clips that wind up on YouTube. So younger people, and I was perplexed by this until somebody told me what was going on. They know me far more now than they did when I was doing the O'Reilly Factor, because they're watching the clips on YouTube. But in order to understand the whole show, you have to watch the No Spin News top to bottom to get the context of what we're doing here every day. All right. And we have a large viewership doing that. But anyway, less than 4 million Americans are watching cable news combined in prime time. I used to do 4 million myself at 8 and another 2.5 at 11 when I was doing the O'Reilly Factor. We used to do 1 million 25 to 54s. Now they're lucky if they do 300,000. It's an incredible collapse. Now, the network isn't as bad. We're talking about the nightly news at 6:30 or wherever. So ABC's total audience down 3, NBC 6. CBS 2, but CBS is below 5 million now. CBS News with Nora O'Donnell gets below 5 million viewers. I mean, Cronkite got 20. So the point is that Donald Trump and every other politician cannot count on television news to deliver their messages. And that's huge, particularly for Mr. Trump, who lives and dies by exposure to the media. So their campaigns will have to change. And what they will do, I predict, and I don't think this is a bold prediction, but they're going to say certain things they know will get on YouTube or the others, all right? Twitter, whatever it may be, Instagram, TikTok. We're going to do something on TikTok. I've avoided that, but we're going to do it because we have a congressman who wants to ban TikTok coming on. But anyway, I'm going to bring you back to the good old days for Donald Trump anyway, and for me. I mean, we were riding really high in 2016, and it was a controversy because Mr. Trump said negative things about Senator John McCain and his war record. Roll the tape.
But the fact of the matter is, we just played the clip where you said he was captured, and I like people who weren't captured. Now, you know that wasn't correct. Well, he was on a bombing mission. He was shot down. He was tortured. He could have been released, but said no because he wanted to stay with his captured comrades. Come on, Donald. You know that the way that came off wasn't correct.
Bill, no matter how you say it, what I said, including my remarks right afterwards, right off the stage, if you look at it, and Cheryl Atkinson is highly respected, she said it was very unfair the way the media played.
All right, maybe that was unfair, but you yourself, and I know you for a long time, and I want you to be honest, you do think John McCain is a hero. I know you do.
I do. And by the way, I said it. I actually said it four times, and I said it immediately after I went off stage
because I was asked that question. There is no debate about John McCain's heroism. He is an American hero.
Okay, so that was the tone of it, all right? So when Trump got attacked for the John McCain remarks, and he should not have said what he said, let's face it, everybody knows that. And McCain didn't like Trump and vice versa. That's why that happened. But the media did ignore Trump later saying, well, you know, he walked it back, and they ignored that. Okay. But what I did in 16 is what I do now. I'm tough but fair on everybody. And I got to tell you, the amount of people watching back then was astronomical. We weren't on YouTube, so it was generally older people. Now that's changed, the demographics have changed. So summing up, people aren't aware that the television news industry is on the verge of collapse. They will come back a little as the campaign for 2024 unfolds. But it's not going to be the younger people anymore. It's going to be the older people, all right, 60 and up. They vote. So politicians still will use television news. But there is a profound change in this country. And you know who benefits from that change most of all? Biden. Because Biden can't do television interviews. He literally cannot do them unless the interviewer is in the tank. Okay, because Biden can't answer questions from me. Can you imagine me getting 45 minutes with President Biden? And I wouldn't be disrespectful at all. Can you imagine that? I can't.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. All right, Biden's schedule today had a global challenges discussion at 11:20, 2:45. He met with the president of Argentina, a country in chaos, Albert Fernandez. 5 o'clock, he had a party for Greek Independence Day. I hope they had baklava and moussaka. I love all that Greek food. Anyway, he didn't do anything, and that's all he did. Somebody wrote a very astute letter to me and said, look, he's like the king and queen of England. He's ceremonial. That's what he is. He's ceremonial. He didn't do policy. He didn't do any of that. Okay, this was pretty lively. Yesterday, Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on the border. They drag in Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. He's hapless. We all know that. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's an order taker. He's not a policy generator. He can't solve any problems. He's totally clueless. Well, Ted Cruz gave it to him. Go.
Mr. Secretary, I want to say to you right now, your behavior is disgraceful, and the deaths, the children assaulted, the children raped, they are at your feet, and if you had integrity, you would resign. And I will tell you, the men and women of the Border Patrol, they've never had a political leader undermine them. They despise you, Mr. Secretary, because you're willing to let children be raped to follow political orders. This is a crisis. It's a disgrace. And you won't even admit this human tragedy is a crisis.
Claiming 1 minute chairman time, Mr. Secretary, would you like to respond to any of those questions?
What the senator said was revolting. I'm not going to address it.
Your refusal to do your job is revolting.
Okay. So there are a couple of things here. Mayorkas shouldn't be in the government at all, just like Buttigieg shouldn't be there. Okay, just like Kamala Harris shouldn't be there. They don't know what they're doing, and they couldn't care less. They do what they are told. So Mayorkas, the White House tells Mayorkas what to do and what to say. And Mayorkas, that's what he does. And obviously Joe Biden wants an open border, doesn't want border enforcement, whether it's narcotics coming in, 5.5 million migrants coming in, Biden doesn't care. Now, just that alone disqualifies Joe Biden. But beating up Mayorkas gets attention. I know that's why Cruz did it. But he is the problem in the sense that he has no courage. But he's not the problem because he didn't implement the policy Biden did. All right, China is warning the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, that if Mr. McCarthy meets with the president of Taiwan, President Tsai, I think that's how you say her name, there's going to be, quote, resolute countermeasures. So this meeting is supposed to take place in California on April 5th in L.A. The president of Taiwan is visiting South American countries where they have trade agreements, coming back through Los Angeles. So the Chinese threaten us, you know, and the Chinese know they can threaten us all day long. We're not going to do anything about it. Not that we should. I don't think you ignite a world war, but you got to know these people have no respect for us. All right, Tennessee shooting latest is really not much. Apparently, the shooter, Audrey Hale, who wanted to be Aiden, trans person, had designs on murdering in another school. Sean Hannity reported this today on the radio, and I have a lively discussion with him about guns. It's posted on BillO'Reilly.com. Apparently, this Hale person was going to go to another school, but there was security at that school, though she decided to hit the Presbyterian school. There's going to be this evening a vigil in Nashville to honor those fallen, 3 9-year-olds and 3 adults. It's just, you know, I'm not going to belabor this thing. I put forth my solution to gun violence in this country. It's on BillO'Reilly.com. It's pretty clear. It would help a lot, but they're never going to do it. They being Congress, never in a million years. Okay, so our guest today is an interesting guy. I used to live in Colorado. As many of you know, I work for KMGH TV, Channel 7 in Denver. And Congressman Ken Buck represents a 4th district in Colorado. Colorado is a much different state now than it was when I was there, I think in the War of 1812. It was the late 1970s I was there. Much, much different state. But it is a state that matters. And it's not thoroughly red, but it's getting there. Now, Congressman Buck has a book called Crushed, Big Tech's War on Free Speech. He has introduced legislation with Senator Josh Hawley to ban TikTok. Okay, we're going to get into that in a minute. The congressman joins us now from Washington. All right, first I want to ask you some, you know, breaking news stuff, then we'll get to your book, all right? So the first thing is that you're on the House Judiciary Committee, and Jim Jordan is the chairman, and Jordan is going after the border real heavy. But I don't think with this president having about 2 years to go, anything is going to change down on the border. Am I wrong?
Well, Bill, first, thanks for having me on. No, I don't think anything's going to change on the border in the next 2 year or 1.5 years. I think the purpose of our hearings is to make sure the American people know the extent of the crisis and who's responsible for the crisis. And I think that any legislative package that we put together is going nowhere in the Senate. They're not going to get 60 votes to move that piece of legislation. And so it's really just highlighting the crisis and the fact that President Trump had a lot of the right answers. And the first thing that the Biden administration did was walk away from a lot of the Trump answers.
Okay, so this is just basically exposing the situation for those dim enough not to understand it now. Anybody who follows the news understands it. Did you ever ask any of your Democratic colleagues why they want an open border, why they want record amounts of fentanyl and heroin coming in here and 5.5 migrants? Did you ever ask them why they want that?
I have not. I've talked to Democrats about how do we get to a solution on the border. And the first thing that the Democrats tell me is we can't have a border wall, a border fence, a barrier that restricts people from coming into the country. Well, that's a non-starter with Republicans. We've got to have barriers. We've got to make sure that we only allow people into the country legally. And that
but why do they say they don't want why do they say they don't want the wall? Is there any logical reason behind the opposition to have border security? Anything?
No, I don't understand the logic of not having.
I don't understand it either. Nobody's been able to explain it to me. A couple of other things. Matt Taibbi is a reporter who is working with Elon Musk to expose the Twitter situation where federal agents from the FBI met with Twitter to suppress information. The IRS shows up at Mr. Taibbi's house. Do you know anything about that?
I do not.
Nothing at all, because I know some Republicans on your committee want to drag in some IRS people to ask that question.
Yeah, and I think the IRS should explain themselves. I'm not sure they need to do it in person, but they should explain why when Mr. Taibbi and Elon Musk are involved in exposing really the weaponization of government, why then the IRS comes in. It looks like an awful bad coincidence.
Okay, the final thing on the breaking news front is the Alvin Bragg situation with Donald Trump. Now the DA says that not going to have the grand jury operate on the Trump, possible Trump indictment for weeks. He's postponing it. So Bragg, again, your committee, they're threatening to bring him in so you guys can ask him questions. Is that going to happen?
I don't know that that will happen. He will fight that, obviously. He doesn't want to answer questions about an ongoing investigation. It would be rare that any prosecutor or law enforcement official would answer questions about an ongoing investigation. I think the point of the letter to Bragg was to point out that he has a weak case against a former president and presidential candidate. And it is thoroughly inappropriate to bring a weak case and to try to interfere with the political system.
Okay. Donald Trump destroyed Alvin Bragg. This is my opinion, Congressman. You don't have to weigh in. But by jumping this and saying, oh, I'm going to get arrested on Tuesday, of course, that didn't happen. He's brought all kinds of hell down on Bragg. It doesn't look like Bragg is even going to pursue it much now to me. You have any feelings on it?
I don't. I don't know. I don't even know really the nature of the case. I've heard a lot of rumors about what the grand jury may be investigating, what they may be talking about. I spent 25 years in front of federal and state grand juries. I didn't tell anybody when the arrest was going to happen, and I didn't tell anybody what we were investigating because of certain secrecy requirements. But I do think that the president is probably the greatest political strategist and has more access to public opinion and influence on public opinion than anybody in my lifetime.
Yeah, I agree with you. And he's certainly taken Bragg to the cleaners. Now, that may work against him in the long run. Bragg may be so angry that he just indicts him on a weak case. All right, let's get to TikTok. So you and Senator Hawley want to ban TikTok. Explain very briefly to my audience, some of whom are older Americans. They don't know what TikTok really is. I've never used TikTok. What exactly is it?
Well, let me just explain really brief if I can. The types of wars that are going to be fought in the future involve cyber warfare. They involve one government trying to shut down another government or another banking system or utilities. And the TikTok is an app very similar to Instagram. Very popular among younger Americans that go on and put videos of themselves up doing various things. And people click on that, and it can be monetized. If you get a certain number of followers, you can earn money for putting up interesting videos that that people watch, because then TikTok can sell advertising to those folks. The problem is that in a cyber war, all the information that TikTok is gathering, name, date of birth, various buying habits, can be used to shut down our economy. It is owned by China, which means that the Chinese Communist Party has undue influence on TikTok. They don't allow Facebook into China. They don't allow Google into China because they know that we could gather information on their citizens, and they don't want that. We can't.
Okay, but
let
me stop you now. So I don't go on these websites. I'm boring. I'm old. I don't go. But say I did. Say I went on TikTok and I watched some dopey kids doing whatever dopey kids do these days. How would the Chinese get my personal information?
Well, first of all, you need to sign up to be on TikTok.
And all right,
so
I'd have to sign up. And when I sign up, what information do I have to get?
Well, you're giving them your name, you're giving them your date of birth. You're not giving them a social security number, but you're giving them other information, where you live, different things about your personality. Then what you do, what can happen is that somebody in China, if they're interested, can follow your keystrokes. They can find out what your passwords are. They can find out where you bank. They can find out what utilities you use, electric company, gas company, what kind of cars you're buying, all the information about you that you use on the same device, handheld device, desktop, all that information is going to be available to the Chinese. We can't give them that information.
And do you believe that there's a potential for the Chinese to do what with that information? What would they do with it?
Exactly. Well, the reason that they are hacking our government systems and learning about our government employees, as well as private systems and health insurance and other areas, is that if there is a cyber war, they can shut down our banking system. We can shut down their banking system. All of that is involved in the warfare. And some of it's morale. Some of it is China being able to advertise to our young people about the beauty of communism in China and how many people are benefiting and on. Some of it's propaganda. But a lot of it just has to do with the height of a war, being able to close really essential parts of our economy.
All right. Do you think that's going to pass, that TikTok will be banned in the USA?
I think the effort, Bill, is to make sure that TikTok, the information that is gathered by TikTok, is stored in the United States, and that the Chinese Communist Party doesn't have access to that information.
Okay.
So it's just like any negotiation. You start with a position that is on one side, and you hope to get to a position where you are safeguarding Americans' information.
That's a noble cause. All right, so I'm cruising through your book, Crushed, and I need your personal opinion on this. Do you believe there was an actual conspiracy by the FBI when they met with Twitter executives, okay, to influence the election, the presidential election of 2020? Was this an active plan to help Joe Biden become president?
I don't know if it was an active plan as much as it was an unspoken truth in Twitter. The FBI certainly misrepresented the nature of Hunter Biden's laptop and the information stored on that. When they blamed that on Russian disinformation, a rogue agent, I'm not suggesting that Christopher Wray or others at the FBI were involved in this, but at least one rogue agent went out and told Twitter and Facebook that this was Russian disinformation. And Twitter didn't use any sort of discernment in the process of determining that it was, in fact, Russian disinformation. They took that and they ran with it. But a lot of the people that they kicked off and a lot of the tweets that they did not amplify hurt Donald Trump. And so, yes, I think there is a culture in Twitter. I think there's a culture in Google that causes them to censor speech on the right, and particularly speech involving Donald Trump.
Okay, the book is Crush, Big Tech's War on Free Speech by Congressman Ken Buck. Say hello to all my friends out in Colorado. Congressman, we appreciate you coming on tonight.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Okay, sure. Okay, so I can't tell you how I do this because then I would blow sources, but I'm on top of the three investigations into Donald Trump. Okay, the first one is New York City with the Stormy Daniels, then is the Mar-a-Lago documents, and then there is the January 6th. Of the three of them, the Trump people are most worried about January 6th. Okay? I'm not going to tell you any more because I'm still gathering information, but I think I have the best sources now. And I really spent a lot of time doing this. And I will start next week, you know, to fill in some specifics on it. But I wanted to give you a heads up. Smart Life. So there is a journal called Social, Psychological, and Personality Science. And it does a study on friendship, 4,000 participants. And the study isn't anything great. It says if you have good friends, trusted friends, then your personality is more buoyant. You're happier. But if you have shady friends, if you have friends who betray you, then you're less happy. Okay, we all know that, right? So I don't know if we needed to get 4,000 people to confirm it, but they did. But here's a Smart Life thing. Number one, trust very few people. And they have to earn your trust. I made that mistake throughout my lifetime. I trusted some people I should not have, because they didn't earn my trust. I never saw them do anything noble. I just assumed they were a good person. I assumed wrong. People have to earn your trust. And when you see them doing very, very good things or helping people, that's then you start. Okay, number one, careful who you trust. Number two, value your friendships that are ongoing. I told you this before, BillO'Reilly.com, up until a year ago, was run by a guy who I went to first grade with. Okay, I've known him since 1955. And I have friends all over the place like that. I keep my old friends, my trusted old friends, because they don't have any agenda with me. They knew me when I was an urchin. Okay, I hope you have old friends like that, value their friendship. And the third thing is, when you're making new friends, careful. Careful, particularly if you're a person who has assets or can do something for the person. You know, I'm a generous guy. I think I'm pretty generous, and I like to do things for people. In fact, my Lent resolution is one random act of kindness every day. And I'm pretty good. I've been pretty good on it. Okay? But new friends, it goes back to the trust issue. Okay, you got to really step back. But friendship is very, very important. Very important. I know people who don't have any friends at all. Nobody they can call up if they're feeling blue and vent a little bit and get a perspective. And so they don't have anybody to do that. If you do, you're much better off. Smart Life. Okay, so concierge membership on BillO'Reilly.com is surging, and I'm very happy to see it because this is a service you can't get anywhere else. So this week I got a letter from a guy whose parents are in their 90s. They're both alive. Okay, they're in their 90s, and he's having trouble, particularly with the dad, his father, because the dad's acting crazy. And the guy can't be in the house 24/7, and the mom, she's suffering. So he writes me, because he's a concierge member on BillO'Reilly.com, what should I do? Now, I got to take this ultra seriously because people can get hurt, okay? So, number one, that man's identity will never be known. No one will ever know it. That's just me. I know it. I'll take it to the grave. And number two, I said, you have to go down yourself to the county court where you live and ask for an overseer to be appointed. Now, you should do that through an attorney, but if you don't have enough money, you can do it yourself. Attorney will cost you $300-$400 on average. You want an overseer, okay, somebody to come in that has legal authority and evaluate what the deuce is going on inside that home. The county provides those services. Most people don't even know that. So that's the kind of stuff that we do at the concierge membership program. And then it can go down to travel. I can't tell you how many travel things that I have, because I could save you a bundle of money. And, you know, people, I had a letter that said, I want to go to Cuba. No. This is not the time to go to Cuba. You will not have a good time there. Go to the Caymans. It's just south of Cuba. Better beaches. You'll have much more fun. That kind of stuff. All right. Again, concierge membership, BillO'Reilly.com. We hope you consider it. It is a resource you will get nowhere else. This day in history, March 29th, 1973, the last U.S. troops leave Vietnam. Unbelievable situation. 50 years ago today, they pulled out. Here's a timeline. 1969, more than a half million U.S. troops were stationed in Vietnam fighting the communists. 1973, January 27th, the Paris Peace Accords ended the fighting. 2 months later, U.S. troops leave, 50 years ago today. And then 2 years after that, Saigon falls because the communists violated the treaty almost immediately. And they knew that U.S. Congress wasn't going to put troops, U.S. troops back. American forces did not lose a single military battle in that whole Vietnam experience, but it didn't matter because the South Vietnamese government was so corrupt, the people didn't get behind it, so the communists won. In the process, 58,000 Americans dead, 300,000 Americans wounded in Vietnam War, 2,500 prisoners of war, 1,200 Americans missing. Okay? 3 million Americans served in Vietnam, 6 million are still alive today as of 2020. And more than a million North Vietnamese and Viet Cong were killed, 250,000 South Vietnamese dead. What a debacle. Vietnam, been there, beautiful country, but it's communist. Those people have no freedom whatsoever. We tried. Back with the mail and a final thought. All right, let's go to the mail. Henry, Mr. O, well said. With no interest in truly enforcing gun laws, the bans are worthless. Even if they banned all guns, they would just get imported into the country along with the drugs. You're absolutely right. They think that the banning guns is going to stop gun violence? It won't. You can only contain it. Again, I have my program on BillO'Reilly.com. John Arminger, Woodbine, Maryland. I thought your gun control proposal was better than any proposal I've heard, including both Republicans and Dems. Also, your guest regarding black reparations, Dominic Carter, was a real eye-opener. Yeah, Dom was good last year. Glenn at Rich Creek, Fairfax, Virginia. The only problem with making guns a federal offense, the weaponized FBI would get involved. No, they wouldn't. It's the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco and Firearms. There'd be a little FBI, but not much. The locals make the arrests. The locals make the cases. They hand it over to the U.S. attorneys. That's how it would work. The FBI would not really have much in there. Tanya, concierge member. We hope you're enjoying it, Tanya. Bill, why don't you like Nikki Haley? I don't dislike Governor Haley, Ambassador Haley. I don't see her as a real problem solver. I think she's just a conventional politician. I could be wrong. Let's see. Gene Sharp, Gilbert, Arizona. Bill, it pays to watch you. My husband and I took your advice on savings bonds at 9.2% and then Capital One 11-month CD 5%. We now have much more money on our accounts than we did. That's why we're here. Smart life. David Spano, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm a premium member and therefore have been fortunate to hear your Smart Life segments. We remind us to reduce sugar. I did. It's only been 6 months, but I got my blood test back and all the bad stuff is down. Same thing with me. Same thing. If you knock the sugar, your blood test is going to be much better. Claudia on the message board. In New York City, Hispanics and Asians are turning conservative to profess unfairness of the bail system and crime. Schools that won't teach basics. The grievance system you and Dominic Carter discussed is only going to create more anti-black sentiment. I don't know about that. If the reparations bill passes anywhere, there will be some anti-black sentiment. But if it doesn't, we're going to let it ride. Joel Grusso, Ronkonkoma, New York, out here on Long Island. If discrimination on race is unconstitutional, how are these cities giving out reparations? They don't see it as discriminatory. They see it as programs that aid the marginalized. So, but it will be challenged in court. If those reparations ever get passed anywhere, there'll be court cases, no doubt. Bob Head, Thornton, Colorado. Beside the No Spin News, the one other thing I very much enjoy is the news quiz on BillO'Reilly.com. This week, I got 90%. News quiz, one of the benefits, BillO'Reilly.com. Wade Johnson, Metairie, Louisiana, recently purchased the entire Killing series and donated to my high school alma mater. Killing the Witches is out. I will donate that as well. Boy, that's a nice donation from an alumni, Wade. Thank you very much. Those kids need some history. All right, BillO'Reilly.com store. We got the Team Normal gear. I talked about it with Cuomo on News Nation last night. There are the shirts. Next week, I'm going to model them for you. Hats. Got a hat with me right here. And mugs and all that. Team Normal. Now, we had to have some of this stuff made abroad. This is Bangladesh. Couldn't get the supply lines to make them fast enough. But we distribute them through American companies. So American companies sell them to us. But some of these are made abroad because we couldn't get them made fast enough. And that's the truth. We usually do 100% American. Okay. Killing the Witches, as mentioned, will be out in September. If you re-up your premium and concierge membership, you get the book free or any of my other books. Word of the day, do not be a rap. Scallion, R-A-P-S-C-A-L-L-I-O-N, rapscallion. I like the word. It's not so bad. Back with the final thought in a moment. All right, here is the final thought of the day. I'm going to Washington tomorrow. We'll broadcast out of there, which is not easy for a smaller news agency to do, but we're going to do it because tomorrow night, Thursday night, I'm doing a benefit with the singer Dionne Warwick to raise money for the Best Friends Foundation, which mentors inner city children, many without fathers or mothers. So they sign the kids up with a successful person who mentors the child. This is a great, I've been doing this for got to be two decades. It's run by Bill Bennett, former labor education secretary, I should say, for Ronald Reagan, his wife Elaine. Okay, I'm pleased to be part of this. So the big benefit tomorrow in Georgetown for the Best Friends Foundation, look it up. And if you want to contribute some money to it, that would be a good thing. I'm looking forward to meeting Dionne Warwick, like her music. And I think we're sitting at the same table. I don't know if she likes me, but tomorrow I will report on, actually it'll be on Monday. On Monday, I'll have a full report because tomorrow I'll be doing the show. Then I have to go over to the benefit, so I won't have time to tape it. But on Monday, I'll give you a full report. But the important thing is, look, mentoring, and I work with Barack Obama on this, my Brother's Keeper Foundation. That's the solution. That's it. I was a big brother for 2 years in Denver, Colorado. I had three kids. I stayed with them my whole life. I help those kids, and they are very grateful for it. And that was mentoring, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and this program, Best Friends in Washington, D.C. Thank you very much for watching and listening to the No Spin News. We'll see you tomorrow from Washington. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.